Pittsburgh Section, National Council of Jewish Women, Oral History 2, Interview Number 5. I am Eleanor Mermelstein. I am with my partner, Sylvia Busis, interviewing Saul Weisberg at the United Jewish Federation Building on Tuesday, July 9, 1985. In our last interview, Saul, you were discussing the Community Relations Committee merger with the United Jewish Federation. You told us about Lillian Friedberg being executive director, and that when she retired, Al Melman was named as her successor. Would you like to elaborate on this committee from the time Al Melman came to Pittsburgh?
All right. I think I had already indicated that many questions had been raised about the role of the Jewish community in what is called community relations, specifically the ability of the Jewish Community Relations Council to occupy what was called a third chair among the religious faiths, that is the Protestant chair, the Catholic chair, and the Jewish chair. After Lillian retired and Al came on, it was agreed that a self-study should take place. Joe Feldman was named as chairman, and representatives of the Federation and of the Jewish Community Relations Council, and I think some additional individuals from some of the constituent agencies were named to make up the total committee. The scope of the study was extensive. It was to consider the objectives of the community relations program of the organized Jewish community, and how those objectives could best be carried out. And it was clearly understood that the issue of merger of the Jewish Community Relations Council into the Federation would be one of the possible approaches to receive consideration and evaluation. It was a lengthy study which examined in considerable detail the history of the Jewish community relations programs and organizations nationally, and more specifically, of course, locally. There were many different issues having to do with the pros and cons of merger, many different issues which were discussed at great length. There were quite a few people who were reluctant to see merger take place for fear that the Jewish Community Relations Council would lose a posture and an image of liberalism, which it had fostered over the years, particularly in its programming towards the minority groups and the general area of civil rights. On the other hand, there were those individuals who felt that a merger was appropriate for several reasons. One reason being that it was alleged that whether the Jewish Community Relations program was independent from the Federation or part of the Federation, the final analysis was tagged with responsibility for whatever the Jewish community would do in the field of community relations. There were other factors, too, speaking for merger. One of them, which I don't know, well, yes, I would say today has finally come to fruition, I think, to a very large extent, and that is this. This many years ago, of course, but the Jewish Community Relations Council in those days was not a very active or aggressive spokesman for Israel. And, of course, the image of the State of Israel in this country and locally, the projection of that image, rather, is certainly one of the prime responsibilities of the United Jewish Federation, and more specifically, I think, at least of the community relations programming. And I at least felt at the time that if the community relations programming became a responsibility for the Federation, that as time went on, more resources would be poured into the projection of the image of the proper projection of the image of Israel, the interpretation to the general community of Israel and so forth, and that eventually there would be co-opted, so to speak, onto the community, new community, merged community relations committee, individuals who had a special concern about Israel. This is not, had not been true when the Jewish Community Relations Council was a separate entity. At that time, the council concerned itself primarily, of course, with local civil rights issues, relationships with minorities, and so forth. And as far as I'm concerned, at least, questions having to do with Israel were pretty much tangential. And it was obvious to some of us, and certainly to me, that this was going to change as the years went by. And of course, it did change. Anyway, summing it up, the committee, after a lot of deliberation, did agree to recommend that there should be a merger, that there should be a new Jewish Community Relations Committee within the Federation. And if my memory serves me right, it was agreed that Joe Feldman would be the first chairman of that Jewish Community Relations Committee. And in the first few years, there were some interesting problems and issues that came up. I'm not sure we'll be able to take the time to really examine them. Rather early in the game, there was a boycott by the farm workers of Giant Eagle because of lettuce. Remember the lettuce, the boycott in connection with lettuce? Anyway, there was a boycott of Giant Eagle. There was even the issuance of a pamphlet, which some people felt had some anti-Semitic overtones, and there was a lot of feeling against minorities. It was a substantial problem.
Well, how did they happen to pick on Giant Eagle?
Because Giant Eagle is a very big purveyor or, seller of lettuce, which was the object of the boycott.
And no other food chains were affected?
Other food chains, I think, were affected, but they issued a pamphlet directed against Giant Eagle. The union did. And that's why it was felt that it might be an anti-Semitic, that had anti-Semitic overtones. If my memory serves me right, there was an apology that came from one of the union leaders in connection with that, saying that the pamphlet had been issued by a subordinate, without responsibility and so forth. Anyway, it was not a serious issue, but it was an indication of the kind of problem that could come up. The big issues, I suppose, at that time arose around arose from, really, the 1968 riots. You remember that Martin Luther King, of course, was assassinated in 1968, and immediately thereafter there were national riots, and Pittsburgh, of course, suffered from them also, although not to the extent that some of the other communities did. Pittsburgh actually was very fortunate for, because its black community is smaller proportionally than some of the other much larger urban areas, and also because we did not have, still don't have, the very high number of recent migrants from the South, which was very much a problem in places such as Detroit, Philadelphia, New York, and so forth. There were two or three interesting and important developments that took place right around the time of the riots. One, of course, had to do with the Jewish merchants on the hill where the riots had taken place. A fair number of them suffered significant damages. And although guess I might as well say it, although very few of any of these merchants had been particularly active in their support of Federation, either financially or in other ways. Nevertheless, when the riots took place, they turned to Federation and said, we want to help. And I was the person on the staff, by the way, who was assigned to deal with these Jewish merchants, and I never forget how many of them simply wanted Federation to make them whole. You know, as if we were an insurance company. Here, these merchants, as I said, had not had that much connection with Federation. It was obvious, or should have been obvious to anybody, that nobody was going to be in a position to make them whole, so to speak, to pick up the total losses and so forth. And yet, that was the outcry. And we had two or three rather difficult meetings with either representatives of the merchants or the total group. I don't remember how many there were now. It seems to me there were as many as 60 or so who showed up, maybe more, in a couple meetings. And we helped a few, not too many, frankly. I remember that I managed, and I use the word I advisedly in this instance, I managed to get a loan from the Small Business Administration for one of the merchants who had been burned out. He was an immigrant grocer. Maybe I shouldn't put this in the record, but I will say he really was not too well qualified, and he didn't make it, I think, within a year or two. He went under. But the loan came due for him in record time. And we've got a couple loans, I think, for other people and so forth. On the whole, we helped a few people, but not a lot. Most of them fine, worked things out one way or another. They moved. Some of them went out of business and so forth. And as you know, of course, most of them left the Hill. I don't know if there's anybody, any Jewish merchant at all in the Hill District. But at that time, there were a couple who survived, some by the name of Slutsky and so forth. There were practically no residents in the Hill District, I think, although I may be wrong on this. I think the last Jewish resident in the Hill District was the mother of the Goldblum boys, the doctors.
Did she remain through the years?
She remained there through the riots. I think she may have been in her 90s already. I don't know, but she remained there. How long after that, I don't know. I assume, although I don't know this, and you may know, I assume she's no longer living because she was, this is after 1968.
No, I don't think she is living.
I think she died.
But it was a very remarkable story to me, and they did bond, and she was not disturbed. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that was one interesting and significant and very difficult problem. Another issue, of course, a broader issue, was had to do, generally speaking, with the posture of the Federation and the organized Jewish community towards minorities and towards their needs and so forth. And out of consideration by the Federation of that question of posture grew the Urban Affairs Foundation in the following way. I think this took place in 1968, although I'm not sure, that it might have been a little bit later. Sylvia, of course, is very familiar with this. Eleanor, you may or may not be. But that is, for many years, since about 1966, when Bob Hiller came here, 65, the Federation has had the tradition of holding in the early summer what has been called a retreat of leadership. I don't know if they're continuing it or not now, but
yes, they do.
They are, or they do, and they bring together, I say they, I mean the Federation president and the executive vice president, bring together 25, 30, whatever the case may be, of people who are presumed to be the policy makers within the Federation. It's somewhat elitist, and there's always been some issues or some questions about the appropriateness of it in some ways. But nevertheless, retreats are a common fact in American organizational life and Federation did it too. In the early years, the women didn't come, by the way. In later years, they did. In the early years, the retreats took place at a retreat, so to speak, a physical retreat, owned by Lester Hamburg, up near Slippery Rock, I guess it is. A very handsome place in certain ways. And we would, those who participated in the retreat, and I, of course, was one of them, would go up in those days on a Friday and sleep over. Lester had some sleeping accommodations, and we would sleep over till, the retreat would last basically up until Saturday noon or Saturday 2 o'clock. And there would be sessions on non-campaign matters and then on campaign matters, and that format has been followed up until the time that I left the Federation. I don't know if it's still true or not. The particular retreat that I'm talking about, which was one of the fairly early ones, I wrote a paper on the non-campaign matter. And the paper, I think I can remember the title for some strange reason. I think that's the one. No, I doubt it. Anyway, basically, it had to do with the Open Society and the Federation's role and responsibility in that so-called Open Society. Something like that, anyway. It was a pretty good paper, too, by the way. I remember it. The reason I remember that is because a couple of people, if you don't mind, well,
I guess
it is interesting. I remember a couple of people wanted me to publish it. Of course, I didn't.
Why do you say, of course?
Well, I never have. Anyway, it was a pretty good paper. And it was the basis then for a discussion of what should be postured there. I was trying to think to myself whether Sidney might have been there. I don't know when he started going. But it doesn't make any difference.
It's
possible he was there. Anyway, and I still remember during the discussion, I'm quite sure that we came to the point of agreeing that the Federation ought to be making some physical resources available to deal with some of the problems, to help minorities in one way or another, so forth. And I'm quite positive it was Harold Bigler who suggested the possibility of setting up a separate foundation. The point being that it was agreed from the start that campaign funds could not be used for this purpose, that campaign funds had to be used for Jewish purposes, and that it would create a terrible schism in the Jewish community if campaign funds were used for the support of minorities. And by the way, it was, and I guess, well, I don't know if it still would be, but it was in those days a very big problem in connection with I'm not phrasing that properly. Let me finish my thought, then I'll go back on that. And so it was agreed that a foundation should be set up, and to the foundation then could be channeled non-campaign funds by persons who were specifically interested in support of minority causes and progress. And therefore, an Urban Affairs Foundation was created, and not too long after that, there was the first fundraising affair for the Urban Affairs Foundation. And I wrote with Saul Shapira, who delivered the paper, a statement which I really was proud of. I really thought it was a really good statement. I wrote it with Saul, and he delivered it, and everybody, it was a successful evening. Oh, well, I'm muttering, I know, and I shouldn't be at this moment.
You're not muttering at all.
All right. Anyway, that's the origin of the Urban Affairs Foundation. It's continued ever since on a relatively small scale, but, and by the way, it was moved into the Jewish Community Relations Committee orbit, as was appropriate, of course, as a separate chairman who considered to be basically almost a subcommittee of Jewish Community Relations Committee. And its policy has been to give, on the whole, small grants to organizations organizations, minority organizations primarily, although not always anymore. Just organizations were attempting to carry out various sorts of activities. They no longer, I think, restrict themselves to minorities. And it's, I believe that on the whole, even though they've never had a lot of money, it's been a useful instrument for the Federation in projecting into the total community a good Federation image. The question of Federation attitude generally towards the black community was a very difficult issue. There were some people who refused to believe, for example, that the Urban Affairs Foundation restricted itself to non-campaign funds and were very bitter about it. There were people who did want the Urban Affairs Foundation to exist altogether. There were people who refused to give. One of the incidents, I don't know whether either of you will remember this or not, was very vivid in my memory, the result of the meeting after the Martin Luther King assassination. When he was assassinated, the question was raised right away, should Federation do anything in terms of a public response, not in terms of use of money or anything, but in terms of an expression. And a meeting was held, and if my memory serves me right, I think it was on a Sunday morning. I don't remember the day he was assassinated, but I think it was a Sunday morning, a couple of days after he was assassinated. I would wager he was assassinated on a Thursday evening, because when he was assassinated, there was a Jewish Family and Children's Service annual meeting here, and I attended it, and Sidney Vincent from Cleveland came here intending to make a speech. He's community relations, among other things, director there, and he heard about the assassination right before the speech. He made a speech about Sidney Vincent, about the assassination instead. Anyway, came down, I'm quite sure it was a Sunday morning. Joe Feldman was here, Judge Martin, Marty Wexelman was here, there were some others here, and we had a lengthy discussion about what should be, if any, the nature of expression or response by Federation. It was finally agreed that Federation should place an ad, I think it was a full-page ad, in the paper, express with a resolution, so to speak, of sympathy and so forth. And I remember very well Joe Feldman, as chairman, finally saying, well, let's do it, and let's do it right now. And why don't the following each write a separate resolution? It was an interesting technique to me. Each of the following write a resolution now, and then we'll bring the resolutions back into the room and we'll compare them. Marty Wexelman wrote one, I wrote one, and I don't know, a couple other people wrote one, and we compared them. And I remember how impressed I was with the resolution that Marty wrote. Anyway, we put them together, and we did publish it, and it cost money. It's not taken, I think so, I forget how we handled it any longer, that we were very careful not to use campaign funds. But it created quite a stir in the Jewish community. A lot of people felt it was a mistake. A lot of people felt we shouldn't have done it. And over the years, of course, a lot of the bitterness did disappear. I mean, a lot of the bitterness of the Jewish community did disappear. Some of the bitterness of the Jewish community towards the blacks, resulting from the riots and so forth, did begin to disappear. Although there was always substantial differences in the Jewish community, highlighted, for example, by concerns that were raised when the issue of busing came to the fore. And there was a point where it appeared that the Jewish Community Relations Committee was taking a stand in favor of busing, and it was a very large outcry, and it became very clear that the Federation Board under no circumstances should take a stand one way or the other on the issue of busing, because if they did take a stand, it was obvious that they would really destroy the consensus, which is very important to Federation. I'm not talking about consensus on that issue, I'm just talking about the general consensus that holds the Federation together, and which will be destroyed if you have a major issue and you allow it to be brought to a head and no really substantial majority exists.
Did all of this have any effect? Did any of this have any effect of the black community's feelings toward the Jewish community?
Well, I was going to come to that, as a matter of fact. Over the years, obviously, the Jewish community has been making urgent, on occasions, and a consistent effort, certainly, to develop relationships with the black community. Many years ago, back after the riots and so forth, there was talk about the Federation trying to be helpful to some elements in the black community and trying to create a black Federation. And I met myself a couple times with a couple of black representatives, but that came to naught. And then, of course, the business of dialogues got underway. And, you know, the open dialogue, I wasn't particularly in favor of that. I'm not a, not confrontational, there's another word I'm seeking. Anyway, I'm not one of those who's a great believer in exposing the open source, so to speak, on the grounds that once exposure takes place and the healing of light and warmth is applied, that all will be resolved. I've found in my experience that as often as not, anger and irritation is just exacerbated rather than understanding. I may be wrong, but that's a position I've had over the years. Anyway, there were some dialogues. Harold Bigler and some others took, participated in some of these. Believe me, I can't pull the term to mind that I want, but anyway, took part in some of these. They may have been useful. I didn't think so. And then, of course, some of the things quieted down. Then later on, the Federation managed to work out some tours of Israel by blacks with Jews. Ed Grinberg, when he was chairman of the Jewish Community Relations Committee, took a group. It was a very difficult tour, but allegedly it was beneficial. Some of the blacks seemed to get a better understanding and perhaps sympathy for Israel than they had previously. Some didn't. Now, of course, there is a renewed intensive action, dialogue going on between the representatives of the black community and the Jewish community, and what the nature of it is and what the outcome of that will be, I, of course, don't know. But on the whole, just to finish this off, I do believe that the folding into the Federation of the Jewish Community Relations Committee, because that's really what happened, was useful and wise. And one of the reasons for it has been, I think, that there's been a very substantial and significant improvement in the interpretation of Israel to the general community. That's been one of the things. And on top of that, I think that the relationship of the Federation toward many of the groups in the community has probably been improved, but it's been sustained. The image of the Federation, I think, in the general community has probably been sustained. The one interesting feature of this whole program has been a failure, I think, to co-opt onto the Jewish Community Relations Committee many of the, or enough of the campaign leadership. One of the problems the Federation has had has been that it's really top leadership are always spread very thin, and just so much they can do. And the Jewish Community Relations Committee to this point has never been able to be attractive to our top campaign leadership, so that when the top campaign leadership or even after our campaign leadership ceases being to be filling a top campaign position, they don't move over into the Jewish Community Relations Committee, which I would have liked to have seen happen.
I think we're just about at the end of this side of the tape, and it has been a most interesting discussion.
See, it's at 4:50, and then it's at 5. Okay, well, I think we should just...